And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin. Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
Good. It's good to have you back.
Thank
from
you.
New York. You yes. went to Rabbi's meeting.
That's right. You know, they had the... first of all, I missed being on the radio last week. But I went to New York for... There was an international conference of Chabad rabbis. So it was a beautiful weekend. You know, started Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday. And, you know, just rejuvenating, re-energizing with all your old friends that I hadn't seen in years. And, you know, you imagine you have 4,800 rabbis, in one huge ballroom that all of a sudden at a certain time is spontaneous. Everyone just gets up and is starting to dance. So imagine you have 4,800 rabbis dancing in one room. It's phenomenal.
That's
cool. But, thank God, Baruch Hashem, and now we're back. And, you know, getting ready for Hanukkah and so on and so forth.
Good. So, Parshat Toldot.
Parshat Toldot is a unique parsha. So many different lessons that we can learn from this week's Torah portion. Now, we talk about Isaac and Rebecca. They have 20 years that they're not able to have a child or kids, anything, until their prayers are answered and Rebecca conceives. And she experiences a very, very difficult pregnancy. And it says the children struggle inside her. And God tells her there are going to be two nations in your womb. And that the younger one will prevail over the elder. And then we know we talked about that Esau emerges first, and Yaakov is born, and then he's clutching onto Esau's heel.
Yeah.
And Esau grows out to be a cunning hunter, and Yaakov is a wholesome man, you know, he's dwelling in the tent of learning. And Isaac favors Esau, Rebecca loves Jacob, and so on. And as the time goes on, you know, Esau comes back from the field, and he's starving, hungry. And he sells his birthright to Yaakov for a pot of red lentil soup. And, Isaac is getting very old, and he wants to give a blessing to the firstborn. And so Esav, you know, he calls in Esav and tells him, you should go and hunt me a good meal and bring it to me. When you bring it to me, I will give you a blessing. And Rebecca hears this, and she goes and convinces Jacob, no. You need to get the blessing, and she takes Esau's clothing and puts it on him and makes him smell like the field and prepares him good food and brings him, and he didn't want to, but he listened to his mother and he went in to receive the blessing. Now obviously Isaac doesn't see because he was blind, but smells that the essence is Esau. You know, based on the clothing and everything, but he says, your skin is so soft, you're like Yaakov. I call Yaakov, the voice is Yaakov, I die him.
Yedei Esav,
exactly. On the hands of Esav. But he gets the blessing from it at the end. So we see that Yaakov
receives
the blessing.
I'm sorry, even though it's not the most right way to do it.
It's deceiving.
Yeah, it is deceiving.
Absolutely, but we see that Rebecca had this, and she knew that it was dangerous.
Yeah.
Because if he would find out, who knows what he would do to his son. You cheated me. You're fooling me. But she did it for the generations to come. She saw, but the prophecy if you imagine if Esav would have received the blessing, and imagine Esav was our fathers now, we would be in the shadow. It would be crazy. So she realized this fact and went on the self-sacrifice, the serious nevis, self-sacrifice, and she was willing to do everything in her power to be able to make that Yaakov get the blessing.
Yeah.
Now, it says in this week's Torah portion in the beginning, these are the generations of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And we learn, as we just said, about the birth of Jacob and Esau, which they also show the aspect of the spiritual soul and the animal soul that at first every person has, and they each go in their different ways, and Isaac bestows the all important blessing on Jacob, and the commentaries explain that this is not merely a blessing that you should be like this and so on. but the symbolic handing over of the Jewish legacy to the next generation. Isaac was passing the legacy, the torch of destiny onto Jacob.
Yeah.
Now imagine Esau received this most critical blessing and he became our founding father. That would be a very, very weak link. That would be a very big problem. And one of the sages of the Talmud, of the Gemara, said that he had learned much from his teachers, more from his colleagues, but the most from his pupils. And it's interesting, because they say, who is a good teacher? A teacher that not only needs to teach their children, teach her class or his class, but after that, he's able or she's able to learn from the children, become better. Sometimes, you know, learning from someone else is a good thing. It's not showing that you don't know or that you're stupid or you're not educated. A person is a good thing that you should learn from it. And I remember that a while back, a man who had great respect for him came, you know, he wanted to discuss an issue, and he wanted his rabbi, you know, to clarify a certain thing. Now, this was a person that reached, you know, he had an amazing profession, he was very intelligent, he was a very sensitive human being, and he said that he has a confession to make. Now, you have to know that rabbis don't have experiences, in taking confessions.
Yeah.
So we refer people directly to God, that they should confess to God, speak to God. Who are we to start?
No second hand with ours.
Exactly. So this man voluntarily wanted to share his most personal disappointment in life with me. And, okay, I was ready to listen. And this is what his story was. He came home from the wedding of his eldest daughter, and he found himself crying. And his wife said, why are you crying? You should be bubbling with joy.
Yeah.
He answered. So he answered, I'm crying because I've just given away a daughter I don't know to a man I don't know. Now, those words, those are so powerful. And when I was looking what we want to talk about in this tutorial question, that somehow came into my head and remembered me, because it struck me that you know, he'd spent years and years building up his business, but he neglected his family. And suddenly, the daughter he didn't really know was leaving the family forever. She was leaving the family home forever.
With someone that he didn't know.
Which he didn't even know.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, thank God this man resolved, you know, the situation and went on to succeed admirably. But this is something that we learn in this story, which made a huge impression. Because it's not only from a family point of view, but also from a Jewish faith perspective, that we need to know our children extremely well. You know, we tend to mistakenly assume that whatever positive feelings of faith, of morals, of Yiddishkeit that we give to our children will somehow automatically be transmitted, you know, what we got from our parents would automatically get transmitted to our children. Wrong. It doesn't happen genetically. It takes a lot of hard work and years of intimate relationship with your children. Personal guidance. We have to remember that, you know, we're in a new generation. The influences of our kids are a lot more different. You know, they're more powerful. There's the internet, there's television, there's movies, computer games, cell phones, which make our children more sophisticated as they grow up. And if once upon a time, young people, you know, were spared the test of all these technologies and everything, now for sure, now it's even more so that we have it. Everything you can get, anything you want. And tragically, you find that children from the finest homes, holy homes, Orthodox homes, whatever it may be, have gone terribly astray. And the reason is because if we don't transmit a healthy value system to the next generation, the vacuum will very likely be filled up with other willing things that they want to learn that we may not be approved of. And this is we see about Yaakov and Esau. Yaakov was a person that was dedicated, wanted to change the world, wanted to be able, his values would be able to influence other people, influence his children, showing them the right way. Esau, on the other hand, was not like that. He was more of the animal soul. The soul that wanted to do all, everything else besides doing what Hashem wanted him to do, besides going in God's way. The good news is that our kids actually do want our guidance. They do want, you know, they might show that they're not really interested. We don't need to know what you're telling us, Daddy and Mommy. We know it already. Leave us alone. But they actually do crave inside direction of life. They do crave what direction in life is a good way. And at the end of the day, what they learn at home will make a far more lasting impression than what they pick up at school. Or even what they pick up at shul, at synagogue. It's up to us as parents to be able to give them the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And give them what they Jewish need. Now, this is something that we have to strive to. We don't want it to come to when it's coming to our kid's wedding that we don't know who she's getting married or he's getting married to.
Yeah.
We don't come to the stage of that I'm losing a child that I don't know. I'm happy that my child is getting married because I've imbued those morals, those values of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, of whatever it may be, into them that they can pass it on to the next generation. And with that, if we have that in mind, then God will bless us with a lot of success and Yiddish and Nachas, and we're going to have the continuity of the future generations, because all of that, the continuity of generations, depends on us, depends on how we are going to show and imbue the values of Torah and of commandments to all our kids. And that's something that we can learn, which has a very, very important message in our life and how we should act with our children.
Yep. So, Rabbi, what about services in Shaarei Tzedek, which are actually in Shaarei Shamayim?
Correct. Services are Friday evening, 6 o'clock. Shabbat morning is 9:30. And Sunday morning is 8:15, followed by breakfast, as well as Monday and Thursday. We have a morning community minyan every morning at 7:15. And we are in full swing for the Hanukkah menorah lighting, which is going to be the lights of change at the Devonshire Mall on December 10th. We are going to have a huge menorah about 8 feet tall, made out of coins, pennies, loonies, toonies, whatever it may be. And we are going to then donate all that money to Kids Kicking Cancer here in Windsor.
That's
and, you know, so collect your coins. You can drop it off at the JCC. You can drop it off at the Star. You can bring it to the event itself. And we are going to fill up that menorah with pennies. The goal is to try and fill up between 40 and 50,000 pennies. So then we can donate that. It's at 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, Monday, December 10th. The whole community is invited. And we hope that with this, there will be the change in the world, you know, especially, you know, our hearts and prayers go out with all the soldiers and the people that are living in Israel right now at this state where it's not a pretty sight.
Yeah.
And we should, you know, keep their hearts in prayer. With this, hopefully with the miracles of Hanukkah, we will go out of all these problems, and we should go straight to, we'll greet Mashiach, and we'll go straight to the Holy Land, all of us, and we'll all live in truth, true peace and prosperity.
Yeah. So, Rabbi, I wanted to thank you and to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too, and God willing, we'll talk next week. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Be well. So, have a great Shabbat and a good week.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.